Hello, I'm Alan Davis. You're listening to the Tuesday Club. This is the Arsenal podcast, and I've got Keith Dover with me this evening. How are you, Keith?
A little bit down now, despite the good result tonight. A little bit down.
Keith has been supporting Arsenal since 1887.
As you know, Al, the bond between man and fox is a strong one, and as you remember, I was born under the North Bank stand and reared by foxes, but since we've left, you know, I've lost that link with my fox brethren, and they were Jewish Orthodox foxes, so once you leave, there's no going back. But I yearn for them, especially now when I'm locked up, you know. Linda will often say, was that you rummaging round the bins last night? You know?
And was it? Was it sometimes?
It was. I can't help it, mate. I just have to do it, you know.
You'll have to get one of them flats at the home of football.
But, you know, all those foxes that were under the North Bank are now gone. You know, they're in the countryside. They don't know what the hell they're doing there. You know,
they're in the Gillespie Road Nature Reserve.
Most likely. But, you know, hey, I miss them. But let's move on.
Well, we'll try and cheer you up. And Tyler Papula is here. Hi, T.
Yeah, hello, mate. I got nothing. I do want to ask.
No, you never bring nothing to you. You've always got a hat on.
I do. I've got a strong Nigeria hat vibes. I'm channeling kind of uncle wearing his son's hat at Christmas vibes.
Nice. It's a beautiful green. It's a lovely green.
I got a couple of questions though, Keith.
Far away, bro.
Do you that wasn't you making those horrible carnal noises outside of my flat at 7?
Yeah, that's a good
morning.
Point, see. From judging by what's going on Hampstead Heath, this is a good time of year to be a fox.
Keith's been out there getting very busy.
I couldn't possibly comment.
No, I do sometimes wonder, Keith, if you can be seen sort of walking around just outside, well, where the flats are, where you were born, just sort of humming Madonna. This used to be my playground. I can actually see
you. You can visualise.
I can see you lost and lost doing that. Just touching, touching stair banisters and going, my banister, my birth.
I've touched many a banister in my time.
The ghost of Keith Dover. It's like a new Enid Blyton. Keith Dover and the ivory and the marble halls.
Keith, take Enid Blyton to a very dark place, my friend. Enid Blyton had a special notebook she never showed to anyone. We're recording this, listener. It's 20 past 10 on the Monday night after another dreadfully grim first half at the Emirates. The game was set alight. Arsenal's Premier League match against Newcastle United tonight, and a magnificent display in the second half. And the wonder kids come into the fore, Bukayo Saka and Emile Defoe, and they seem to have really perked up Lacazette and Aubameyang, who were wandering around looking so miserable all through October and November. And they really are all linking up and creating chances and taking chances. And it was quite encouraging second half.
Well, the pass by Partey was just something else, wasn't it?
For Aubameyang's opening goal.
And I got to see that because I was listening on the radio to the worst commentary by Jonathan Pearce and Karen Carney ever. But luckily, Lucy sent us the goals. She videotaped, or, you know, recorded on her phone from the TV and then sent it to me. So I
what a service.
It was great. And the visual
very,
quality
very
was fantastic.
Thoughtful.
That is the sort of solidarity you expect in Block 32.
Exactly. But it was great. Not that Jonathan Pearce and Karen Carney, they were absolutely dreadful. You know, when they...
Can I just ask why you weren't watching it, Keith? Is this
because I haven't got whatever television, so
okay,
I just,
because
know.
It used because there's been myriad reasons over the years I've known you for you not watching games, and I just wanted to know if you weren't.
A
boycott.
Not a boycott.
Do you remember that time, Al? What was it? Was it the Shield where we missed a European?
Oh, here we go again. It wasn't a European final. It was West Ham United. We bring this up, don't we? We've only got an hour. Let's not go down all our yesterdays.
I remember that. Yeah, you missed a home game to watch a DVD.
Yes. And
every time someone missed a home game, you were there going, we're going to have to put a white feather on that seat. He's missing.
I don't know why I am.
Like,
the one
we were
with
all
the
going
feathers
over the top together. Well, my friend, you fell. You were hoisted by your own petard.
DVD.
And I've never known what that meant, but you definitely were. You've only just come down from your petard.
I know.
So you weren't watching it because you weren't watching it.
There's no superstitious reasons.
No superstitious reasons.
You ain't got Sky. I don't blame you. It's about £1 million a year.
I mean, the last time I tried one of those £10 packages, it just didn't work, and I just wasted a tenner. I just put the radio on, and normally, actually, it's quite good. It's a bit tenser, but
what was wrong with Piercy tonight then?
He was just all over the shop. They just kept chatting about different things that weren't pertaining to the game.
So Jonathan Pearce has got a life membership at the Arsenal just for...
He's tickled it. He's normally very good. It was just like they seemed a bit absent-minded tonight. You know.
Newcastle took a corner. It was a poor corner to the near post, which Lacazette sort of stooped and headed out. He was the front man. And it came out to Lewis, who's their left back. And he had a chance to swing in across from the left wing. And as you see all the time in football now, and maybe it would drive Steve Bruce mad, having once been a centre-half, who in that situation would have been still up in the box for the corner, and then the ball comes out to your fullback, and you're in the box thinking, just swing it in. Swing it in, mate. We're all up. You know, we'll make something of it. And instead of that, Lewis went backwards to halfway. It was very reminiscent of watching Arsenal at their worst. Mm. And they ended up on halfway line with the ball. And then whoever had it there lumped it forward to the penalty area. What's the point of doing that? What's the point of going 30 yards back and then lumping it hopelessly forward? And Zorro headed it down. I think it was Zorro. Lacazette turned on it, gave it to Partey, and Partey just... What noise does he make when he runs? Like a kind of a purring Ferrari or something. It just glides around the pitch. Like, it makes the game look so simple in centre midfield. Why do these players who are good have so much time to make their minds up? If Thierry Henry was a central midfield player, that is what he would look like. Just cruising about, and he sees Aubameyang, who's drifted off onto the left wing in about 25 square yards of space. Really, that was a match made in heaven, wasn't it? Partey on the ball, Aubameyang in space, and he landed it on his foot. Now, in the past, he's come inside and smashed it with his right foot. People have now worked out, don't let him do that for God's sake. And he went the other way and leathered it in with his left foot.
That's what
and
was
really
so impressive.
Leathered it, didn't it?
Yeah, that was what was so impressive for me, actually, because you were expecting him to come in and shape like he's been trying to do. He'd been trying to do that, and he really looked a shadow of himself in the first...
Half, and he kind of stubbed it, and it bobbled out of play, didn't it?
Yeah, as much... I mean, I say shadow of himself because I still maintain that he's got it, but he was really, really struggling. And so when he took it on his left, I didn't have...
You think he might hit the keeper, right? Because it tightens up the angle, doesn't it? But he's been... Do you remember Billy's Boots, Keith?
Yes, I have recalled. Yeah.
So recently. You remember it? You remember it as well, too?
Absolutely.
He's been playing like Billy used to play when he couldn't find Deadshot Keane's boots. Deadshot Keane's boots would be left on the bus or someone. He's got to turn up. Oh, what am I going to do? I haven't got Deadshot's boots. Oh, and he was absolutely shit without Deadshot's boots. And it was like Aubameyang got Deadshot Keane's boots on at half time today because suddenly it all came together. Now, it really is amazing. These guys, Lacazette's the same, so experienced. They played so many seasons of top level football and their confidence can go down so easily and it can come up again so quickly with a goal. They really are a couple of absolute prima donnas.
Somewhere else with that.
Remember, with Dennis Bergkamp, if he made a mistake, he just looked a little confused, like a computer program, and there'd been a glitch in the algorithm, and I'll have to amend that when I get home. Looked like his head would go down, like Giroud, and oh no, I'm going to have to throw myself into the same.
Thierry had the good sense to blame whoever was nearest to him. Just with
Thierry. No, Alexis Sanchez would always just bollock whoever was nearby.
Yeah, it's your fault, Ramsey.
Ian Wright did as well. Ian Wright would bollock anybody nearby. If he missed, he'd just bollock someone.
Speaking of prima donnas, I'll tell you who isn't a prima donna. Did two of my favourite things today, right? Xhaka goes down in the first half. Kieran Tierney tells him to get up.
Oh, sweet.
Absolutely brilliant. Sweet. Did you see that? We're only a couple of games away from Xhaka going down in the box and actually Tierney going over to the ref and doing the diving motion himself.
Do you reckon you did give him the old bring out the yellow card thing. Yeah. Give me yellow, give me yellow.
And, was that the one where Jack went down screaming and whining?
In the
didn't
middle.
Get anything.
Yeah.
And then someone passed it to him and he had to get up and carry
on. Well, yeah,
on
this playing. Is it. This is it. It came
at that moment.
It came out of Tierney. Tierney was like, get up, mate.
Get up. I'm going to give it to you. Pansy.
Do you think Tierney is a bit like Begbie? Like, he does all these lovely things when he's not playing football.
I don't think he's like Begbie, but I think he knows people who are like Begbie.
Yeah. He's got friends of Begbie.
Yeah, when he goes out New Year's Eve, there's a couple of them there.
Yeah.
Hi, Kieran.
You're not going to pick up my man.
Kieran was the sensible one trying to stop everyone getting into a Petri dish hug after the second goal. Kieran was there sort of going, stay away. So
lads, let's not get COVID, lads.
He's our guy, basically. It's great to have him back. Made such a difference. I mean, poor Ainsley. Oh, no, I'm sure we'll come to him. But Ainsley had a bit of a tough one on the other night, so you see the difference
well,
having
a
left back.
It's not a left back, is he? So we're still in a situation with Ainsley Maitland-Niles. It feels a bit like Oxlade-Chamberlain at the moment. Mm. He's so magnificently talented, and he can't find a spot in the team. So we could play right back, he can play left back, he can play centre mid, he can play up down the wing, he can go all over the pitch, but he can't get one shirt for himself. And the Ox had that at Arsenal, and they moved to Liverpool, and he's got it at Liverpool as well. Because Liverpool have got all kinds of people out, and the Ox is still, if you see him at all, you see him on the bench up there. So that's what I don't want for Maitland-Niles. But, yeah, he's certainly put him in the flat back four and ask him to play left back. He's no Kieran Tierney. He's right-footed, for God's sake.
Kieran Tierney put in some more cracking balls today. And I said it last week as well. I'm still surprised by his pace. I reckon his opponents must be surprised by him because he just cruises by him. He does.
And he's ferocious, Tierney. There was one moment where the ball bobbled about and he just went a bit like he probably did when he was playing in Glasgow growing up. He just went flat out to it and won it. It just suddenly burst 4 yards forward. And, I had enough of this. Everyone was pansying about.
And Sorrow did well for the third goal because he took a lot of stick on various quarters. What, from the?
He's a good player.
He's a good player. Sorrow, I thought he played well.
He knows what he's doing at right back. And that was a good assist. The ball went out of play, did it? But it was about half an inch of it was still on the line. And it was, I don't know. If that was 1966, it's a goal, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, the fact is he battled for it, though, which was a good.
Has that changed in... I'm sure that's changed in my lifetime because, I mean, the whole thing about... Because they do that for corners, don't they? You only have to touch a blade of grass with it, which is why... But I'm sure you didn't used to be able to do that. It's always... I'm glad it's gone for us. Do you know what I mean? I'm glad it's gone for us today, but I'm sure it hasn't always been like that, has it?
I don't think you're not going to get one of those now unless there's actual daylight between the line and the ball.
Right.
And then if they're...
So would that not have been a goal then, by the same logic?
In the old days, that's done by the naked eye. You might get it, you might not. Yeah. But, you know, now they've got VAR and they can see that you've seen them so many times, haven't you, with goal line clearances with the Hawkeye where it's 1 millimetre of the ball is still over. And so that doesn't count. So that was a nice bit of work. I mean, they gave the ball away there, didn't they, in their own half, absolutely killing themselves, Newcastle. They really are.
It was really stretched at 70 minutes, wasn't it? It was like stretched and played like a training game. Like, I mean, they gave up after their second goal, surely, Newcastle.
I think their heads went down after the first, mate. That was it.
Yeah, really. Wow, God, it's not a good time for them, is it?
I mean, I know Newcastle fans are tearing her out, air out with this Joe Linton fella. They are going, why does he keep playing? You know, why did we buy him? He's clearly useless. You know, you've got a feel for him. You know?
Yeah, and Andy Carroll, sadly, I remember him scoring a hat-trick against us at West Ham, and he was so dangerous back in the day, but it was back in the day, right? I mean, he's a shadow of the former player, and where's the investment and the ownership situations, they're sliding towards the drop zone again. And it's the same old, same old. Someone down there will get out of it. Mm. You know, West Brom won somehow against Wolves at the weekend. And Allardyce was a very bad advert for an expensive watch.
Oh,
I don't know if you saw Allardyce's watch. But I mean, really, whatever company made that probably sell most of their watches in Beverly Hills or Kensington. But he got a win there. Fulham are really picking up. Scott Parker's got them playing. They look quite good now. They're harder to beat.
Yeah, Brighton got a win, didn't they?
Brighton got a win. Burnley, you know, this is, if you get down there amongst all them and you're going the wrong direction, you'll go down. Mm. I mean, Sheffield United obviously have had it, but.
I'm actually loving.
It's going to be a fight.
I was going to say.
I'm glad we're out of it. We're now the full team in the league.
I'm actually loving the lofty concern here. Like it's quite nice there, peering down from. Oh, it's very tricky down. It's very tricky down there, isn't it? They said from tenth place.
I know. That's exactly right. Think about it. 3 weeks. 3 weeks ago.
Bring out your dead, wasn't it?
Absolute misery, you know. Oh, no.
Six pointers against Brighton and Burnley, wasn't it? And now look at us.
At 6 points against Brighton and West Bromwich Albion, and we did get.
We're now exactly halfway between the gutters and the stars.
And now, this is the first time for 12 years or something we've kept 5 clean sheets on the bounce. So even with that, I miss Pablo Mari, I must say. I like seeing him there. I like imagining what sort of vehicle he's got, parts. I like the idea of him smoking. whole character we created for Pablo Mari last week.
waiting for the free kick to come in. Waiting for the free kick to come in with a cigarillo. And just, actually a proper cigar, actually, just chomping off the, with a gold clasp, chomping off the end of it, waiting for Willian to put in one of his free kicks.
Yeah, that's it. It's got something very expensive he used to snap the end off his cigars, or the end of the finger of someone who doesn't serve him his drink with amount of ice.
It's when he pulls out a finger to actually cut off the end of his cigar, and you actually see, like, kind of, an SM for the kind of, it used to be the ring finger of Mustafi, and he's now using it to sort out his own cigars. Yeah, definitely. But no one has seen Mustafi.
Mustafi's skull is an ashtray in the club.
Hey, let's thank Leno, though, for the Palace game.
But Leno did something. Did he have something to do in the game? I don't remember.
Well, no, but I mean, the Palace game he did. And that's the hardest thing for a keeper to do when you haven't had much to do. But when you do have something to do, he kept us in it, didn't he? That, so, you know, we could have easily had lost.
I was going to say, can we stay here for a bit longer?
Oh, my God.
Well, it was poor. And, well, the Palace game, does it?
And the first half of this game were just. We don't. There's still a real paranoia, isn't there, about conceding that first goal and the keeping it sort of absolutely watertight until we get it, and then everything falls into place. But if we don't get it, I was actually, do you know what? Honestly, I didn't really want to watch it tonight after the Palace game. I actually thought, got to sit and watch this now and recall the Tuesday Club after. And I'm not really. I've just started watching the Righteous Gemstones. Have you seen that, T?
Oh, no. Tell me more.
Oh, lovely. Do you know Danny McBride? You know, did Eastbound and Down and. He's fantastic. Anyway, this is a very funny. It's on the Sky Comedy Channel, and it's about a family who make their money as evangelical Christians.
I've seen the advert.
And they're all vying. John Goodman plays the father, and the sons are vying for his favour. A little bit like Succession.
Okay.
So it's not that kind of elite level drama of Succession, which really was like, you know, Premier League. But as very funny comedy, it was brilliant. And it's the first season, there's 10 of them on there, and I thought, I could just sit in a couple of them. A couple of them, and then see how we got on after. If we did well, I'll watch it on a rerun. Please don't make me sit through any more of this shit. That Palace game is when we gouged my eyes out. And they really, it's so boring.
Yeah. And it's that so much worse. Dull, it's that pedestrian. Much worse without the fans, isn't it? Like, if it's that
well,
boring,
that's it. Yeah, very
with no
so.
Goals and no atmosphere and Don Goodman, then actually, no, that's unfair. Don Goodman was all right tonight, but I'm still wondering.
It's all
who,
that as... feeling of you know, do you want to go down London Colney and watch him train? I'm an Arsenal obsessive. No, under no circumstances. I've got zero interest. If there's nothing riding on it, and sometimes you watch these games and you feel like there isn't anything riding on it somehow. What? It's just like a training session.
Yeah.
And perhaps you're right. Perhaps it really is not having the 60,000 or the 38,000 or whatever it is actually turning
up. I mean, do you feel, though, let's say this COVID thing hadn't have happened, there would have been 60,000, well, 60,000, and we'd have still had this bad run of form. Would the pressure have been on Arteta after the losing at Burnley? Because, you know, without the fans there, the results were bad and the pressure was on. But luckily he got that win against Chelsea. But I'm thinking before then, if you'd have had 60,000 or 40,000 gates, you know, and the fans, the toxic atmosphere, I wonder if he would have been still there now.
I honestly think, mate, that week when we had Chelsea, Brighton and West Brom...
That was crucial. Yeah.
It was crucial to staying in the job. Because I think if three defeats there, it's a totally different ball game. Oh. And we're not looking down on those poor sods being dragged into the relegation fight because we are right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And we've got tricky fixtures coming up. We play Southampton, who are quite good, and we've Villa again, who beat us. And we've got Man U and Man City coming up. Oh. So, you know, we need to be in better form, and we are. And Smith Rowe, some of his work tonight is... superb. He made it look so easy to set up Saka for the second goal to beat Lascelles. He's no mug as a defender. Mm. And Saka made it look so easy to steer that into the net. They make the game look bloody simple.
There was one angle, if you didn't have your glasses on, where Smith Rowe, the way he was playing it in front of him, just looked like Merce.
Yeah. So like Merce, and then his build and his running style really resembles him. Honestly, if you said Merson was his uncle, you wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I think that the first time we see him playing in a Europa League game a couple of years ago, we said that. You actually said he's going to be the new Merson.
He very resembles him in the way, the areas of the pitch he likes to play in, and he likes to be creative and fantastic player. Let's hope he doesn't get a terrible gambling habit fueled by cocaine and
and fall off the rails.
And have years in and out of rehab. No, Emil, stick to the lemon and ginger tea and Call of Duty.
And Saka again. Saka's just doing it every week.
Yeah, he is sensational.
And meaning that Pepe can't make it clearly till the new season. I mean,
do you think he brings Willian on because Kia Jurabjian's just texted him?
Yeah,
why does he bring him on?
Confidence. I mean, Willian did an interview this week just acknowledging, you know the type, the kind of mea culpa interview to try and get people off his back, I guess. But he has acknowledged that it hasn't worked out for him so far. I still want him to.
That'll be set up by the agent and the PR.
Yeah, I guess. There was that time today for that free kick. There was a big build-up to it. Lacazette goes over and kind of ruffles his hair. There's a close-up of him smiling. You talked about Billy's boots earlier on. It's so, you know, like in like Pennywise in It. It's like someone's taken Willian's boots and replaced them with some kind of clown boots, basically, for that free kick. So after this whole big build-up,
do you think is he pinging them in training? Do you think?
There's the same memory of him doing it for Chelsea, probably, which is the same reason why Luiz has been allowed near them any more time.
Such a long build-up and such a serious expression, as if he's about to do some triple twist off the high board with a double somersault and something actually life-threatening. Instead of taking a free kick, which he's done 50,000 times in training since he was 10 years old.
Hits the wall.
Just stick it, hit the top corner. Oh. Whatever you do in this circumstance, don't smash it into the wall. You look an absolute bellend. We might as well let Louise kick in at the clock end. Said, old Zorro was there, thinking, just let me take one. Let me have one in my life. I can do this.
I can ride a horse and take a free kick.
I can do this. This is top corner. I'm playing well.
I mean, it is ironic, isn't it, that we spend nearly 99 million on Pepe and Saliba. We've got Willian on an expensive wages, and yet the players that have done well are the ones that have cost us the least money.
Apart from Partey.
Oh, Partey. No, that's a given. That was money well spent. But with the other lot, you can't say. And we could have got Zaha. For what we spent on Pepe, we could have got Will Zaha. And he would have been straight in that team.
Zaha kills Saka.
Oh, that's true, yes.
Son Goodman still calling him Saka. It's one of the last people in England still calling him Saka.
Did you see Cedric getting really into the right back role and his foul throw?
Yeah. That's an absolute contagion down the right back position, isn't it?
There was one before as well, but it didn't get called. It's weird how professional footballers still do that.
Well, we've said this before with them taking corners. What is it with everybody in the team should be able to take a corner? It's a given. You know, it's what you do. It's what you train all week for. And yet you see it in a match. It's not just our team. It's countless teams can't take a corner. It's pathetic. Well,
never seen Kevin De Bruyne hit the first man.
Well, all right. Yeah,
first man's always been hypnotised by De Bruyne. I like Cedric, and I think he could have played at left back the other day when Tierney was out, because he's relatively two-footed. I feel like the fact that the Conservative got the nod shows that they do want to accommodate him in the side, but they're struggling to. He's such a talent.
Well, he had to rest. He did have to rest some players, and I think with the Palace game, there was fatigue there.
And we had the 120 minutes against Newcastle last week as well.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, you can't...
He'll never try him in midfield, will he, Ainsley?
No, I don't think he will. I don't know. Now we've got quite tricky FA Cup ties we've drawn, haven't we? Presuming that Southampton will knock out Shrewsbury. We play Southampton away, and if we beat them, I presume we're going to play Wolves away. So these don't feel like cup ties where you're going to massively rotate. Then we've got to play Benfica. That's not Dundalk, is it?
No, Benfica is the one we need to win. I think there's a lot of...
We want to go far in Europa League. We want to knock Benfica out and try and win the thing, don't we? So, yeah, I don't know. We're going to have to rotate and mix it up. And people who come, they're going to have to deliver. The thing that I couldn't understand with the Conservatives, at one point he gets down that left-hand side and he goes for a big booming cross with his left foot and shanks it into the stand. And I thought, well, Tierney does that. Tierney gets down there and he hits those crosses with his left foot and they're absolutely extraordinary, like thunderbolts, exactly where he wants them. And if he's on his right foot, he comes inside. Yeah. He does something else. He wouldn't try that at full pace on his right foot, Tierney. He'd come inside and do something else. And I don't know why he took that on, really.
I'm all right with him taking that on in the sense that you do often, well, I often lament the fullback cutting in. What my problem with it was that he didn't try it again because he obviously lost confidence with it, and confidence seems to be an issue with him quite a lot, doesn't it? Mm. I would have been happy with him to have tried it again because, you shank one. I thought when you were saying that, I thought you shank one and then you try again because you just keep going again, like you said about Dennis Bergkamp.
Well, I think
it's
right not to try it again because he can't do it. He can do a million things with a football. He's a magician, but he can't hit a cross like that on a run with his wrong foot. Who can? That's really hard. Only Santi Cazorla could do that. Anyway, we all love him, and he's in that gang, and they will get their chance. Maitland-Niles, Willock, hopefully Nelson, hopefully Balogun as well. We're worried about him maybe leaving because his contract's up, so we're really hoping they all stay, and perhaps they'll all be inspired by Saka and Smith Rowe.
Nice to see Martinelli come on again.
Yeah, that's good. That wasn't serious, that injury. So maybe they'll all think there's something going on here, and you know, the grass is always greener, right? But this is Arsenal. This is still one of the biggest clubs in the world. This is a place where we're all mates, and there's something could happen here if we stick together. And you don't often get a bunch come through like that. I remember Wenger saying about West Ham years ago, if they'd kept them together for two or three seasons, you know, I'm talking about Rio Ferdinand, Frank Lampard, Joe Cole, Michael Carrick, all came through together, all went on and won everything there is to win in the game. And they had one or two other half-decent players like Freddie Canute and one or two others. They could have done something.
Oh, very much.
They could. They could have done. They could have done a Leicester 2016. You know.
Well, you could say the same about Southampton. They've had Liverpool's pillage their squad down the years, haven't they? So
yeah, and Arsenal have too, haven't we? Yeah. Taking a couple.
Yeah, not the good necessarily.
I was going to say you could say that about Arsenal. You could say that about Arsenal as well. if we kept that second lot together.
Now, gentlemen, How did you choose which internet service provider to use? The sad thing is most of us have very little choice because ISPs operate like monopolies. They then use this monopoly power to take advantage of customers. God, do they? That's worrying. Data caps, streaming throttles, the list goes on. And many ISPs log your internet activity and sell that data to big tech companies or advertisers. So, to prevent ISPs from seeing my activity, I protect all of my devices with ExpressVPN. Our good friends from ExpressVPN are back sponsoring us this week. Thank you to them. They are, well, I better tell you what it is. It's a simple app for your computer or smartphone that encrypts all your network data and tunnels it through a secure VPN server. And then all of us at the Tuesday Club can see what you've been looking at. No, that's not right.
In layman's terms for Keith, it basically means when someone asks him the question, would you rather have a naked picture uploaded of you or your browser history on display? You no longer have to be scared of the answer.
And how do I get this marvellous invention?
Let me tell you, sir. And it will not slow your connection, which is a very important point. Stop handing over your personal data to ISPs, that'll be internet service providers, and other tech giants who mine your activity and sell off your information. Protect yourself with a VPN I trust to keep me private online. Visit expressvpn.com/Tuesday. That's expressvpn.com/Tuesday. And get 3 extra months free. Expressvpn.com/Tuesday. Right now. Do it.
Is there any good transfer rumours for us? Because normally you get your intel from a fat bloke in a pub, but as you can't go in a pub anymore,
Hardly anyone waiting at bus stops on them. That's always quite a good place.
That's always a good place.
The Bouet's mechanic was got furloughed.
Yeah.
Last I heard. So we got fresh out. The Buendia thing sounds like, well, Norwich are doing too well for him to go anywhere, for anything to happen. And I think we're supposed to be keeping our powder dry for the summer, really. Although there is talk of a goalkeeper, a second goalkeeper, and a second left-back because of what we were discussing before.
Yeah,
so.
Might be a good idea.
Well, we'll see. Socrates is still hasn't left. We've managed to loan one out, the mooted clear out. Anyway, look, it's quite late this evening. Let's do some. Do you want to do some spotlight commentary?
Can I just say that? One bit of transfer news which we haven't discussed, or maybe you've done it to death.
Hold that thought.
And here comes Arsenal's real attacking threat. It's Aaron Ramsey. There's the cutback. There's the chance. Superb! And Arsenal's big money signing has got a big goal on the big stage.
Beep.
Yes, go on, T. Go on.
I am saying Mesut Ozil.
Yes. Correct.
All right. What's the game?
2011.
No, he didn't join till 2013. Come
2013,
on.
2013, I mean.
Yes.
The cutback, who was it?
First of October. No, his first Arsenal goal was against Keith. Can you remember? Sumptuous finish from the edge of the box with his left foot, side foot.
Oh, yeah.
That he faded past. The goalkeeper was Pepe Reina, ex-Liverpool keeper. Just inside the post in the Champions League game against the Italian side.
Napoli.
And it's a beautiful goal. It's a lovely one to watch on the YouTube because they cut to Arsene Wenger and he nearly skips out of his seat. He thinks, that's what I bought him for. That's what he's there for. And that was Mesut Ozil's first Arsenal goal. And you'll see a theme emerging as we move on to this next one.
I'm really hoping I know which one.
Charlie was there again defensively, and that's a lovely turn from Ozil to get away from Kante. And it's 2-on-2 here. David Luiz and Gary Cahill. Alexis Sanchez is onside, and Mesut Ozil can walk onto it. Didn't strike it cleanly, but it doesn't matter because that's the third goal inside the first half for Arsenal.
Is that
Did that you remember that one?
Did that turn out to be when he said he mishit it? Was that his first kind of bounce goal?
Yeah, the commentator thought he'd miss it.
Yeah,
we looked at one another and said, Mesut does not miss hit anything. If he wants to bang it in the ground and knock it over his head, that's what he'll do.
That's what is happening.
And I'm still, you'll never convince me otherwise. It was 2-on-2, yes. Sanchez against David Luiz. It was the 2016-17 season against Chelsea. Early in the season, 24th September, and we were 3 up at half time, and Chelsea were in a mess. We tore them apart. Sanchez was magnificent, and Theo got a goal as well. That was a beautiful team goal, Theo's goal. 3 up at half time, but Ozil's won. He was involved in the move and then ran onto a cross, volleyed it into the ground and up and over the keeper. It was magnificent. But Chelsea fans say that was the game where Conte changed it all around.
That's right, isn't it?
And rearranged the team and got them doing what he wanted.
And they went on to win the league.
And they went on and won the league. Yeah. And we beat them in the cup final, of course. But so, yes, that's Mesut Ozil scoring. I've got one more for you. Let's see if you can remember this one. This is a great one. I've forgotten this one.
Jack Wilshere has Iwobi to his right, and he's going to use him. Iwobi's cross into Alexis, who's not giving up on it yet. Ozil! That is brilliant! Mesut Ozil at his very best. Arsenal, a goal to the good, and what a good goal!
Was it them? Was it against them?
No.
No. Oh, was it Liverpool? I can see it. I can see the goal.
Come on, Keith. Sanchez, you need this one. Sanchez, you need this one for the equaliser. The ball sort of headed out. It's just inside the 18-yard box. Comes down on his left foot and he absolutely detonates a volley in under the bar at the clock end for a 1-0 win.
I've seen it. I watched it tonight.
United.
Newcastle,
yes.
Tonight's opponents, Newcastle. Yeah. And that was on the 16th of December 2017. And I play those goals to you, gentlemen, as a tribute to the great genius.
Flawed genius of
Mesut Ozil. And he's gone to Fenerbahce. And I mean, it's all but done, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he
landed there. It was one of the most tracked flights. I mean, you know how things go.
Was it a flying carpet?
Yeah. Well, actually, I was watching a few Mesut goals today, and how can we forget the Renaissance painting against, was it Ludogorets?
Oh yes.
You know, I tried to find a commentary for that goal. Ludogorets away. It's a breakaway goal where he's on his own virtually, isn't he? And he goes and knocks it over the keeper. Two defenders get back. Mm. He dummies both of them. Two dummies, sumptuous dummies that he hasn't deployed before. He's just got so many in his armoury. Leads them both on their arse and rolled it in the net. Absolutely fantastic. It's hard to find a commentary of that goal. That's some... Wally hasn't put some hideous music over it. Yeah. Will you please stop putting shit music over beautiful goals? This really is a crime. Mm. But yeah, that was a wonderful goal.
It's a shame, man. Yeah. It is a shame. Do you think we'll ever find out? I mean, maybe 10 years when somebody writes a book.
But... I honestly don't think we ever will, mate. I don't know what went on. Something went on.
Yeah.
He was playing every game before the lockdown and no games after. There's maybe a combination of factors. Some things leaked out, didn't they? About China, about pay cuts. Mm. God knows. For the best that he goes and plays football somewhere else. But I was thrilled when he came to Arsenal. Mm. Arsene Wenger was thrilled when he came to Arsenal. Sometimes people put on YouTube, they put montages of a player's touches in a game, right? They say all of Mesut Ozil against Napoli. If you look for that, there is a YouTube video of that, Mesut Ozil v Napoli. Mm. And I think Alan Smith's on the commentary with someone, and they are purring about him. Every single thing he does, every touch is involved all the time. All his teammates are just absolutely hypnotised by him. They just keep giving it to him, and he gives it back so nicely. They can't believe how softly it's landed on their boot. He's running here, there and everywhere. He's two steps ahead of everyone. You remember the assist after assist after assist, surprising pass. He'd thread things through gaps that weren't there. He was just the most brilliant footballer. And I know that they didn't turn up, Aston Villa, and it was a one-sided final, but his performance in the 2015 Cup final was majestic.
Yeah. You can only be sad about a player like that and the ending that we've got. I mean, I don't want to get involved in whether it's Özil FC or any of that. And I know he's got this army of followers who make out as if there's clearly fault, so much fault on both sides, all the leaking and so on. But just talking about and enjoying a player which kind of epitomised that late Arsene Wenger era of fragility, genius. Yeah,
totally. You've hit the nail square on the head, T. He was, Wenger left, and he left behind this absolute pearl, and he was suddenly amongst swine. It was suddenly, it was Unai Emery, and that guy with Casado just going, oh, whenever we're out of possession, and they'd rather have Danny Welbeck there. He's a wonderful human being and a terrific player, but in terms of talent, it's just not in the same universe, and he wouldn't claim to be.
No.
And you need to make special. Wenger gently said, you need to somehow make a little bit of an allowance, because in the, you know, if there's a debit and a credit column for a player, if there's a pros and cons for a player, this guy is the one. He is the one that they're all afraid of. And he started to just not enjoy it, did he?
Yeah, that was the Arsene way, wasn't it? That, well, I mean, the artistry over industry. We can all applaud Danny Welbeck. Sorry to pick on him today, but you can all applaud the kind of player who's charging down a fullback.
You need the combination, right? In the 17 final, you had this combination in the forward line of Welbeck running Chelsea ragged, the sensational talents of Sanchez and Ozil, every touch brilliant, so much trouble caused all the time. You had a blend now. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, do you think we've missed somebody at the club like Dean who could have been an intermediary and said, you know, got the manager and Ozil together, come on, what's the problem? Let's sort this out.
But that person Arsene Wenger? Arsene Wenger said today, he was interviewed by Turkish TV, I think, and he said this is the big transfer of the window. Fenerbahce have got a wonderful player who's desperate to play for them, who could boost their season and send them on the way to the Turkish title, and I hope they win the Turkish title. I hope he gets his medal.
For one, am heading there as soon as we can.
So would love to do that. Just go to Istanbul and watch Mesut play for Fenerbahce, because I would love to see that player one last time. When I think of him, really, when I really think of the demise of him, was the performance in the Europa League final where he just couldn't get, you know, Hazard totally overshadowed him. He couldn't get going. He got subbed by Willock in the 79th minute and he came off. He was in one of those, I'm going to kick my gloves away moods. And you felt like his time has probably come, and they just couldn't move him on, could they? Because they gave him too big a contract. He needed to go at the end of that season, really.
Yes, yeah.
Or certainly in the summer. It's really a classic case of the new manager's come in and he doesn't fancy it. We're going to find you somewhere else. But it was all disrupted by playing through the summer and the transfer window spoiled. The same thing happened to Lionel Messi, right? He wanted out of Barcelona and he couldn't get out. So, anyway, it's done now.
Fenerbahce are not still in the Europa League, are they, Graham? Just want to double check that.
Oh, no.
Can somebody check, please?
Yeah. I've absolutely got the fear now until we know.
Yeah. I don't think they are.
Talk about yourselves. I'm Googling that immediately.
And it's Ozil straight through to Narrative FC, Narrative C back to Ozil, and a bounce ball over Leno.
Oh, don't say that. Oh, God, it'd be awful, wouldn't it?
I'll miss him. And I'll miss that. Well, I've said it before, but I'll miss that type of player. I mean, I guess Cazorla was different because Cazorla always put the effort in, or at least in the traditional way that we as fans kind of recognise. And he was such a such a joy. But I've just, I know Arsene's long gone, but I just miss that kind of player. And Arsene collected them like, you know, like jewels, like little gems. And we got to enjoy him, and even, and that sustained us through the times when we weren't good enough to win the league, right? So now we watched today, okay, it ended well, and we've got this young crop coming through. But it was okay, it was never okay not winning the league, but you know what I mean. It was fun to go. We could take that kind of slightly higher ground, that higher moral ground when we're talking to our friends of other clubs, because we had these players at our club.
So what I'm going to say to you, Tony, what I'm going to say to you is Arteta there for... Has he got it right? Has he got the little bit of backbone and steel? And you can do all of that stuff. You can have your fun when you've earned the right to have your fun. But you don't get to have your fun in the first 10 minutes at Stamford Bridge and get picked off twice at the on the break.
Fair.
You don't get to lose 5-6 at Anfield and the Etihad. You don't go down 8 at Old Trafford. You are gnarly and hard to beat. And when you've got a goal up and when the other team are tiring, you can do it all. Mm. Play all the one-twos and do it all. But this is, we are here to win matches as well. And we should have won the league in 2016. You know, we should have won it that season when he was there, Ozil, playing superb football. We lost it to Leicester because we couldn't defend.
Well, I'd never want to go the other way. I mean, that game you just described where you're 1-0 up and they get tired and you win 2-0, we know who does that, or at least he used to do that. Now he just hangs on for... Jose just hangs on for 1-0 wins against anyone and it blows up in his face. I just want to enjoy... I mean, we're not in the ground, right? But I want to enjoy that football again. And look, you're right, Al. We can't go and lose... by some of them hideous scores that we used to in the last days of Arsene Wenger. It wasn't even just the last days, was it? But maybe we're getting closer to finding that middle ground again, and maybe this young crop of players. I mean, we haven't conceded for, is it 5 games, did you say?
5 clean sheets.
I'm
looking at the draw, Keith, and there's no sign of Fenerbahce in the round of 32.
Thank God that's good to know. Right. That's a relief.
Tottenham have drawn RZ Pellets. Oh. I don't know who that is. That's
a given, quite a funny then,
one. Young boys are in it, of course. But there's some top sides in it, including the team that's obviously going to win it, which is Unai Emery's Villarreal side.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's absolute nailed on. Get your bets on now, Ken.
We've got to say with Arteta, the players that he has brought in have been good. So I think a couple of transfer windows.
Well,
Arteta have his team, and then you know, I think things will start moving really in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, he did bring in. Who's he brought in? You're not counting Willian in that, are you, Keith?
Not really. No, I think that's an Edu thing. I think that's the Brazilian Pensioners Club.
Yeah, that's definitely to do with that. But yeah, Gabriel and Partey look very, very good, don't they? And Pablo Mari was his call too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, one or two emails. John Brody has emailed. You mentioned in your last podcast that Kieran Tierney was a steal at $25 million. In terms of transfer fees paid by English clubs for Scottish players, this was trumped by the derisory fee of... he's actually put £3, but I think he means £3 million. Paid by Aston Villa for John McGinn. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
That is a spectacular bargain, isn't it? Yeah. Because he's a really good player and he's been having an excellent season, and he was excellent last season as well.
He's like a good Andy Reid, isn't he? He's got that kind of square.
I mean, he runs their team, doesn't he? £3 million quid.
Jesus.
Holy smoke. And after rejecting a low ball offer from Celtic of a crocked player and a half eaten bag of sweets, Hibs accepted Villa's offer. McGinn was in the Scotland squad and he was the driving force in the Hibs midfield. He was a player with a big future. But unless you play for the Ugly Sisters in Scotland, your club has no chance of being paid a fair transfer fee.
Oh, I did get a message, you two, last week from Ben Cole, who was close to the Kieran Tierney situation. I think he went to university in Edinburgh, if my Tuesday club, or in Scotland, if my Tuesday club memory serves me right, but he said that there were Celtic fans who were annoyed that Kieran Tierney didn't stick around for the 10.
For 10 in a row. Yeah. Yes, I've heard that as well.
So just an
update
for Keith.
But I have to say that the wheels have come badly off, and Brendan Rodgers' reputation is further enhanced by it all going to pear-shaped after he left. And I don't know. I don't think Kieran Tierney could have done anything to stop this Steven Gerrard-inspired Glasgow Rangers team. And the one thing that we must all fear is when Jurgen jacks it in, and he will. If there's anyone who's going to have a heart attack on the touchline, it's this fella. Gerrard is going to take that Liverpool team somewhere. He's really got it. Got it going up there.
Hopefully in the same direction as Frank Lampard's Chelsea.
Yeah, that would be nice. There's just one other little thing that John Brodie says at the end of his email. Thanks for Matt Macy. Two games in and he seems okay.
Thank you.
He's a big bugger, isn't he? There he goes.
Never got to see him that much.
Yeah, I didn't. But he says his kicking's crap, so sort that out. Sort that, Matt Macy. So that's that one. It's 11 o'clock at night and the kids were asleep upstairs, so there's no songs.
Right, fair enough.
But I did now. West Brom, I was asked on the podcast a week or two ago, when we played at the Hawthorns, and they had one of those tarpaulins over the seat saying, "The Lord's my shepherd." Mm. And I was saying, why have they got that on there? So we've had a bit of correspondence on that subject. Ben Deacon has sent me an email. Long time listener, first time caller. I'm a long suffering gooner based in the West Midlands. I'm always surrounded by West Brom and Wolves fans. So anyway, blah blah blah. One of my West Brom supporting mates has given the answer to "The Lord is my shepherd." It was sung at a home match in the 70s that had been moved to a Sunday, supposedly because of a miners' strike going on. And it was a very rare thing to play on a Sunday in those days, so someone started singing "The Lord is my shepherd" as a bit of a joke. And then someone else said it was created as a tribute to Johnny Giles, and they used to sing "Giles is my shepherd." And if you go, I don't know, do you know, either of you know this website? It's called fanchance.com.
No,
if you go on fanchance.com, you might hear this.
That is
and then
the most...
they go, isn't it brilliant? And then they go, "The West Brom, the West Brom, the West Brom."
I want to be a member of the Black Country Pentecostal. You can hear how strong the accents are. That is blinding.
You really can in that particular clip. You really can hear the Black Country accent. So that's the sort of thing I like. That has cleared that up nicely. Thank you very much. They've been singing that down there for best part of 50 years. They may still be singing it in the Premier League next season, because Sat Allardyce can do this, right? He can get teams out of these situations.
That's what he does.
He picked Kieran Gibbs. And it's fascinating when the new manager comes in and he has a look and he changes it. And Gibbs couldn't get a look in, couldn't get picked.
Is Damien's on footballchance.net? Is there Kieran Gibbs, push pineapple? That never caught on, did it, D? You gave it a good go.
No, it never did.
Did you get an email from the club saying, "We are go to the club shop, we are celebrating the Chinese New Year"? Was that a giveaway? Who's running our club? I mean, they never say, "Oh, it's the it's Hanukkah. Go to the Arsenal shop." It's, you know, it's Ramadan. Go to the Arsenal shop. You know,
they almost definitely did that to wind you up, Keith. You're the only one who got it.
So let's get that conspiracy nutter. Send it to him.
If you look at the email again, the R is backwards on it.
Right.
And if you click if you click the source, then you'll see that A. Davis was behind the email.
I would never prank him. Richard Cann has sent me a story about Teddy Sheringham being a shit.
Oh, I like these.
I just don't know what to say. I don't know. Friends of Teddy or anyone, just don't tell him. It doesn't. Yeah. It was funny for a while, and now it's just getting grim. I mean, it's just week in, week out. I met him. See you next Tuesday. My elder sister used to work in wealth management for the Midland Bank. She was based at different branches in the St Albans area. Some of her clients happened to be Arsenal and a few Tottenham players. One day, weeks away from becoming a gooner, Sol Campbell walks into the bank. Now that, you can imagine.
Yeah.
Sol appearing in the bank. Everything goes quiet. Accompanied by a colleague. The colleague was none other than Edward Paul Sheringham, MBE. Sol had kindly...
I like that bit of the detail. MBE, that's good touch. That's good.
You bought it. Yeah. Sol had kindly dropped off a Tottenham Hotspur signed football. My sister, delighted, yet aware of my allegiance to Arsenal, made a joke that she would have to scribble the Tottenham logo out and then politely inquired if England striker Edward would sign the Tottenham ball. To which he said, "For a gooner, you're having a laugh. He can get stuffed."
You've got to respect the man's principles.
Yeah, exactly right. He hates Arsenal so much. And the fact consistent. That he hates Arsenal so much and it makes us laugh so much. It's so brilliantly perfect, isn't it?
So consistently a see you next Tuesday.
Just an absolute villain. Relentlessly, in any situation, he can just turn it on. Just pull it out. Just so people walk away thinking, he's a bit of a wanker, isn't he? Oh, dear. A few weeks later, Sol returned to the bank, now a contracted footballer of Arsenal Football Club. He asked for my sister and handed over a signed Arsenal football. What an absolute legend.
Oh, wow.
That football rests proudly in my bedroom at my parents' house. The Tottenham ball can be found amongst cobwebs in the garage, having been kicked about the street I grew up in.
That is outstanding.
We can deduce that Edward Paul Sheringham is indeed a bellend. And then this is from Rich, freeloading scum, who says, "You are really helping me through a tough mental period. I'd love to grab you all a beer and see the vest of destiny in person." A couple of people have emailed me and said, "This lockdown's doing my head in. Thanks for doing the podcast." So we appreciate those emails. It's doing our heads in as well. We are contractually obligated to go to the end of the season, so fear not. we will be here every week.
I was going to say, have you seen Heist by David Mamet film?
Yes,
I think I have.
Gene Hackman.
It's fantastic. Gene Hackman's in it, and Delroy Lindo. When you said Sol Campbell walks into a bank, I could just see him coming in, taking a side, you know, standing by the side of the door, making sure no one hits the alarm. Just by looking at them, just by being quite brooding. I was talking about Sol Campbell today, actually, because he's the only person. I really love Gary Neville's Gogglebox, right? He gets good guests on there, good chats. The only person who's made it boring is Sol Campbell.
Fair. That's not fair.
But it's true.
It wasn't true.
I might have said this before. I don't know.
I think the thing about that, the Gary Neville soccer box, which is quite a good little thing that Gary Neville's got going on, is basically he interviews other people from the Northwest about football. And then he had to interview Sol, and they just had nothing in common at all, apart from the fact they happened to be in the same back four for England for a few years.
You've seen it, haven't you? Like, it's such an awkward conversation. Yeah.
Well, perhaps it is. But I still think it's... I agree with you. I do think that's... It's worth a watch. It's becoming increasingly annoying that as he matures and becomes... Gary Neville's getting less and less irritated. Maybe it's because Man United aren't winning anything. Perhaps if they do go on and win this COVID league this season, and it is absolutely up for grabs, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Then they will become as irritating as they always were before.
And last mention for Gary Neville's Gogglebox box is that he's got a new one, a fairly new one, with Ian Wright, which is as wonderful as you'd want it to be. So there, that's my little plug
on the Sky Sports channels.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've had a little email from Mohammed.
El-Neni?
Sorry, Mohammed, not El-Neni. El-Nashmi. This is a story about how I found out that Adebayor is a massive twat. So this is we might be able to give Edward Paul Sheringham a break finally after 9 months of stories about roaming around Essex and Hertfordshire being a dickhead.
Do you know, I get a funny feeling that's going to be going on for a few.
No, but you know, I promise you, all these emails are genuine. The day started off as one of the best days of my life, and Mohammed sent me a couple of pictures of himself. It was his first ever game at Highbury. He was lucky enough to be taken into a box. And it was the Wigan game, the last game at Highbury. So very lucky to be there. And when they came out of the box and he'd had a marvellous time, they went down into the car park. And the Arsenal players were down there in the car park. And he met Cesc, he met Reyes, he met Pires, Robin van Persie, Johan Juru, and Gilberto Silva. This may sound weird, and I'm not gay, but I think I somewhat got a minor erection by how humble and caring he was. That's an extraordinary sentence. But he is a wonderful man, Gilberto Silva, and there's a photo of him with Gilberto Silva, and he's just a beautiful guy.
Right.
And anyway, then I met Adebayor. He came out with a huge black trash bag. Now, I presume this is a massive bin liner that is filled up with everything that he has nicked from the dressing room on the last day of the season. I can't see any other explanation for him coming out with an enormous bin liner other than it's full of stolen goods.
A couple of studs poking through where the black bag hasn't held, where he hasn't double bagged it.
Absolutely.
Corner flags, goal nets, anything, all available on the Adebayor shop on eBay.
Yeah. Honestly, everything. 28 unused bottles of Lucozade, 16 footballs. Jens Lehmann's gloves. Absolutely everything. I went up to him and asked for an autograph. He rejected it in a very rude manner. I asked him for a photo and he shouted at me. I said, no! I stood there sad and in shock. Presumably his erection had gone away by then. He picked up the black bag and swung it across his shoulder as he was about to walk away. And the next thing I knew, this huge black trash bag smacked me across the face.
Oh.
I found myself battered on the floor. He didn't even look back. He didn't even apologise. The twat.
Oh, that's massive twatism. That is, Jesus, what, mate?
I could proudly say that I was the first ever Arsenal supporter to hate Adebayor.
Well in.
Well just in. Calls.
And then he says that he was at the Man City game away when Adebayor ran the length of the pitch and had some chairs thrown at him. So anyway, thank you for that. That's opened up a new line of correspondence, possibly.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. Well, keep them coming.
Although, please don't stop with the Edward Sheringham stories, because honestly, just have me in tears every week.
No, someone sent me a link to Sheringham on, was it on with Max Rushton, I think, on that Sky show where they sit on a bench surrounded by old socks as if they're in a changing room, but they're not, you know. And he's talking about going to sign for Nottingham Forest, and Clough's there, and he goes, "Oh, here he is, our new centre forward, Edward Sheringham." And he goes, "Oh, he's called me Edward. Oh, no, I don't like that. Can you call me Teddy, boss?" To which Clough said, "Welcome to Nottingham, Edward," and walked away. Clough could spot a bell end a mile off. He didn't get where he is today. Yes. Pandering to tossers like you. You put that shirt on and do what I want you to do.
Do you remember him and Cascarino at Millwall?
Yes, I do. I do remember them at Millwall. And George was managing, wasn't he, for a while?
Absolutely.
He was a terrific player, sharing him. He hated Arsenal, of course, but he was a very, very clever footballer.
Well, look at his trophy haul, you know.
He was a very good player. It pained us more and more that he was a good player. And good players that you hate, they just seem to have really long careers.
Well, long enough for you to get your own back when he was on the bench.
Oh, yeah, we did give him a real afternoon of abuse at Portsmouth.
Reserve!
Reserve! You're just a Giriso! These folks can barely shout anything. They've been shouting for 50 years. Oh, dear. Anyway, lads, so maybe we should knock it on the edge. A wonderful win tonight.
Yeah, right. It was a good win. Good win.
What's going on? Eddie Howe can stand down.
Owen Coyle back to the barracks.
I think Rafa's staying in China and Mikel's in the job to the end of the season at least.
All we need is Jack Wilshere to come back and get his number 10 shirt.
Perhaps we should just say that. One last thing. The prima donna's bickering about the number 10 shirt on social media. Absolutely, by virtue of mentioning it, neither of them should ever have it. And if that isn't just sitting on Emil Smith Rowe's hanger in the summer, something is going on.
If a centre half gets hit, we riot. That's my final word.
If a Kia Jurabchian sign in, if Cesar Azpilicueta gets it, when we fish him out of Chelsea's bins in the summer, we riot. All right, let's see you later.
Cheers, mate.